you so that they can be in your heart. It's not going to be any good to you in your head. It's got to be in your heart. And in verse 7, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when you're sitting in the house, when thou walketh by the way, and when thou rise up. Verse 8, and ye shall bind them upon thine hand, and thou shalt be as, and they shall be as frontlets upon thy head. Saints of God, they shall be as frontlets. And it says between thine eyes, but it means as a band, a scarf tied around your head. You're supposed to wear it like this. And this is not literal. It's not a literal band that you wear. It's a command. But they were to keep these laws and distinctively in view. That's what that means when you wear it around your head and between your eyes. That means it was literal. It literally means it's a commandment. But they were to keep these laws distinctively in view. That means looking at it and carefully attend to them. We know what it means to attend to something. We take care of it. So we're supposed to keep this word that we're getting today and that Moses gave us. We're to keep these laws in view. That means looking at them. And we're to carefully attend to them. These laws are commandments. They are especially important and necessary for us today. These same laws is necessary for us today. Now, we most definitely should know we have to love God with all our soul, with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our strength. We certainly should know that. But saints of God, how many know that the family is under siege? This scripture is needed to help the parents take back their children. You know, their children are scattered all over the place. Disobedient, hard-headed, in drugs, in alcohol, in everything that you name. The world is taking them and just all kinds of ways. And how many know this word will help them? That's what Moses is saying. This word will help you get back your children. You know, it doesn't matter if you're a single parent. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're a single parent or if you still have control. You still have complete control over your children. From the womb to the age of accountability, you need to take heed to what the scripture is saying. Everywhere you go, you should be teaching the word. Sitting in your home, you should be teaching the word. Riding in your car, you should be telling them something about the word. If you don't know what to tell them, put a tape on with scriptures being read. You know, it's not enough to take your children to church. You have to teach them the word of God. Then every day, everywhere you go, everything you do, you know, you have to, when you're riding in the car, just like I said before, read the word to them. Instead of Harriet Potter and some of those other far-out books, children books, you know. Make them put these phones and tablets and notebooks. Make them put all that stuff up and read the Bible. Saints of God, it's up to us to do the will of God. And Moses has given us a great example and some great words. So saints of God, let's follow them. And I'll talk with you a little bit more in the next session. Amen and amen.
All right, family. You have been listening to the Spiritual Warfare broadcast with Evangelist Wanda Bell. You can connect with us on Facebook at Evangelist Wanda Bell. Or you can write us at Evangelist Wanda Bell or Spiritual Warfare Ministries at P.O. Box 5884, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71307. Tune in every Tuesday and Thursday, same time, here on KAYT 88.1, as we go deeper in the Word of God. This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
You'll get your Bibles and stand to your feet and honor the word of the Lord. Turn them to the book of Acts, chapter 1. Acts chapter 1 and verse 11. And it says, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, no time for glory gazers. No time for glory gazers. If you don't mind, would you help me preach this message and tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, we don't have any time for glory gazers. Now, if you believe that, come on, give God some praise. let me help you understand this theme and this part of the text, if you will. Jesus has risen from the dead. He has walked among men now for some 40 days. He's preparing to go back to heaven, and he has a short discourse with some of the brothers, and they're asking him questions as to, will this be the time that God would restore the kingdom back to Israel? And Jesus tells them that's nobody's business but the Father. He says, that's in the 7th verse and 8th verse, he tells them, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses of me both in Jerusalem and Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the world. But then he goes on to say, you know, and while he spoke these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Verse 10 says, while they looked on him steadfastly, as he went up into heaven, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing? Up into heaven. This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have also seen him, or as you have seen him go into heaven. Now, one of the things that I think is important for you to recognize the writer is making clear to us is that these men, the Bible says, while they beheld, while they were caught up in what Jesus in his glorified body was saying to them, Jesus was giving them the last commands, and it was literally to be a witness unto him in the earth realm. It wasn't about looking and staring and being overwhelmed and looking at the fact that Jesus, in one of the last miracles they would ever witness, of him literally taking up into the clouds, and the clouds taking Jesus further up until they could no longer see him because he vanished out of their sights on a cloud. They missed the message that Jesus gave them. Go into all the world and preach and teach the gospel. It was the first command that Jesus gave after he rose. And then 40 days later, he's telling the disciples, when you receive power, you are going to be empowered to be my witnesses. For a reason. Not simply to enjoy the glory of seeing me leave planet Earth, because one of the things the angels made clear as they spent their time not going to tell the story or not preparing to receive that power that Jesus was talking about, but being glory gazers. There's no telling how long they would have been there because they were so intently focused on the cloud, no longer being able to see Jesus, that two angels came and stood by them, and they never recognized them. So busy looking up till they never looked around. See, that's the problem with being glory gazers. You don't see what's going on around you because your heads are in the clouds. The two angels were standing there by them in white apparel, and they also told them, ye men of Galilee, why? Now, the reason he asked this question is because they had already been given their instructions. The reason he asked this question is because they had already received their command. The reason he asked this question is because obviously it had not yet sunk in underneath the skin whereby they were able to take what they had gotten and began to put it into action. He was looking at the fact that they were overwhelmed at the Christ who had gone back into heaven, never again to walk here on planet Earth. My brothers and sisters, let me be very clear with you. There are still glory gazers today. Maybe they're not looking in the celestial, the cosmic. Maybe they're looking at stars here on Earth. Entertainment stars, sports stars, singing stars, acting stars, stars here on Earth. Maybe they're gazing at these who are
phenomenal in the natural sense and are overwhelmed by them, and they are wasting their time gazing at folk who can't do nothing for them. I don't really know, but here is the point to the Christian church, and I'm closing. Don't waste your time doing nothing. Whatever God has given you to do, whatever you can put your hands to do, whatever will bless the kingdom of God, help a brother or sister, do what is necessary, do it now. Not find yourself looking at others and things that can bring you no profit or bring no profit to the kingdom of God. We have been called to be witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you don't know what else your purpose is, that's a good place to begin. Some people say, well, I don't know what my purpose is. Let me help you understand. You begin by being a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And whatever his agenda calls for you beyond that, that will always be first on the agenda of helping you understand you are a believer to help win other souls to Christ. I don't care if you are in the choir. I don't care if you're on the deacon or deaconess ministry. I don't care if you're a great pew member. I don't care if you're an usher. All of that has nothing to do with the fact that you're first called to be a witness. So if we are not encouraged to be glory gazers, what are we ought to be doing? Get your pad and pencil out and jot it down. Got five things I want to share with you. One, you ought to be going.
Yes, sir. Tell him, Pastor.
He said, go into all the world.
Yes.
But here, right there in verse 8, he says, also, ye shall be witnesses to me both in Jerusalem and Judea,
yes,
Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. You can't get all of them places by not going.
That's right.
Now, here's what you need to understand. You need to recognize that if you put that in perspective as to who and where you are, then your present place, your present dwelling, your present home is where you begin, and you increase that circle as you move further and further in a greater circumference, reaching as many folk as you possibly can. And you've got to do that by going.
Yeah, yeah.
Going. Listen, if you're really going to get the message out, you've got to go. You've got to go. You've got to go wherever you go. Listen, there's somebody, and if there's somebody, you ought to be telling them something. And the something you ought to be telling them that is Jesus saves. Finding out whether or not they're a part of the kingdom. If they are not a part of the kingdom, then it's your job to share a Savior with a sinful world. So that when this life is over, they will have another place prepared for them. So going is the first thing on the agenda when you are a witness. The next thing you ought to be doing in this world is glowing. Wow, because you're supposed to be the light of the world. How are you going to be the light if you don't glow? It's sad to see so many Christians not glowing these days. Sad, sorrowful, no smile, no joy, nothing illuminating in their lives. You don't see no happiness. You don't see nothing about Jesus that'll make folk want to see you outside of this world. Hard for them to tell in this dark world that you are the light of the world, because your light isn't even shining. I got news for you. The best place your light shines is in darkness.
Come on, come on.
I mean, I can't stand my job. All this sin and evil. Can I tell you something? That's the reason why God got you there. Not just for a paycheck, but for you to let your light shine on that job, to get in a place where maybe the TV can't get, the radio can't get, the preacher can't get, but you as a witness can get. And when people can see your light shining, then they're drawn to the light. Want to know what makes you smile all the time? Why are you so joyful? Just went through the most difficult thing in your life, and yet you got joy down in your heart. When they think you ought to be crying and moaning and groaning, they want to know, why are you so lit up? And you get to tell them the joy I have. The world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away, no matter what I go through. And so then you get to tell them that the light you got came from the light of the world. You're just a light in the world. And Jesus is that light of the world. So not only must you be going, and not only must you be glowing, but their thing is you ought to be growing. How many of you know that the Bible says grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? There is a difference between growing and getting fat. Some of us are extending, but it's not because we are multiplying, it's not because we are reproducing, it's because we are expanding. Now listen. I'm trying to help us understand something. When you learn how to grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you've got more to talk about. You've got more to share with. You know how to be that minister ministering in every situation. Listen, you may not have been called to preach you, but you've been called to minister. Maybe I'll say that again. You may not have been called to preach, but you've been called to minister. As you speak of the word, as you speak of the will, as you speak of the way of God to others and minister to their needs, you are ministering the word that God gave the witnesses. Jesus is your message. The reason why the church can't grow today is because we don't have believers growing. When you are growing, listen, you attract other folk to that issue or that element that's underneath your skin that they want to know about, and that's where you are able to share that Jesus. Right now, you've got so many believers who cannot even share Jesus. The only reason why you're scared to witness is because you don't know what to say. You get a complete stranger who don't know you from man on the moon, but you talk about his subject, and he'll talk like he's been knowing you all his life. How many of you gone to different places or whatever, and you had to sit there and wait? TV might have been on, sports might have come on, this, that, and the other might have come on, and you hit on a subject, and they act like they are the authority on the subject. You can't shut them up. They don't know you from man on the moon. I'm just trying to tell you, when you get to the area where people know something about, it's easy for them to talk about it. That's the way believers ought to be, not glory gazers. But believers who have grown in the word of God to the point where they are able to explain the word. At least enough to explain Jesus to a lost person. So now, not only do you go, and not only do you glow, and not only do you grow, but the next thing is your responsibility is to gather. gather.
Gather what? Who? The lost sheep. Do you know, my brothers and sisters, that there are people in the church, sheep, who have been saved, who get lost in the world? Get lost in the world. Think about some of the people you know. They were walking with Jesus one day, and somehow they got caught up in the world and walked off the path. But you know they know him. But listen at this. Some of them get lost, my brothers and sisters, and don't know the way back. And that's one of the reasons why Jesus gave the illustration. What man having 100 sheep lost one, did not secure the 99 and went out looking to gather the one? That lost sheep is so important to the kingdom of God that believers, when they reach this point in their walk with God, will learn how to gather the lost sheep of God. God puts on your heart sometime to find out, where are the lost sheep? It's one thing if they've made a conscious choice to go someplace else, but it's a whole nother thing when they're lost in the world and don't even have the comfort of knowing, I've got a brother or sister sooner or later who's going to recognize I'm not in my place, and they're going to send a search party out for me to find me and bring me back to safety. Bring me back to safety. Are gazing in the stars, and the flock is moving on. And when they get through looking in the skies, they look around, and the rest of the flock is gone. Who pays attention to the lost sheep? One of the reasons why Jesus wanted us to be careful and mindful of the lost sheep is because of the danger the enemy can do to the lost sheep. How that sheep can go through different experiences that can ultimately end in that sheep's destruction. Something can knock a sheep down, and a sheep will stay there kicking until somebody picks them up. Amen. When you recognize, my brothers and sisters, how important it is to have brothers and sisters watching out one for another. I remember when we were in kindergarten, and whenever we would be going to one adventure or another, they would make us walk in a single line. And then they'd make one of us put our hand on the person in front of us, and then the person behind him put his hand on our shoulder. And it's hard to break the line when somebody's got his hand on your shoulder. Lord, I wish I had a witness. But here we are as God people, we're too mean to put our hands on a brother or a sister's shoulder, and they can get lost and we never know it. Get caught out in the world, caught up in drugs, caught up in drinking, caught up in promiscuousness, caught up in all kinds of evil, and nobody is looking for that sheep. What a joy it is in knowing that the true saints won't let you slip away like that. And then lastly, not only must you go and must you glow and must you grow and must you gather, but the last thing is you ought to be getting ready. Because the scripture says the same way he went up is the same way he's coming back.
And it's important for you, my brothers and my sisters, to get yourself together. He said, occupy till I come. Keep on doing the work